Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Scripture reading for today's lesson comes from John, the 6th chapter, the 56th through the 72nd or 71st verse. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "That is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May we pray. Almighty God, we are so thankful for the opportunity to be in this place and to hear this anthem that has prepared our minds and our hearts to receive the good news that we find through Jesus Christ. Speak to us this day your healing word, so that we might take your light into a dark world and shine, not to bring attention to ourselves, but to our Heavenly Father. May He have all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, congratulations, brothers and sisters. You made it through the whole chapter of John 6. We've been doing this for the past 5 Sundays, and every time we come to Sunday, we don't have to guess what the scripture lesson is. It's John 6. And we've been doing this for 5 weeks. So congratulations, we have endured to the end. And what the Bible says, those who endure to the end shall be saved, which means we can go on back to Mark next week. The mission statement in John is very clear, as well as sometimes unclear. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And that's really where the mission statement ends, because the Father sent Jesus into the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But as the Father sent the Son, so does the Son send His disciples and you and me into the world. And sometimes where He sends us and what He has us to do and has us to believe can sometimes be very challenging. Sometimes it's challenging to those persons that we go to and share the Word, because maybe it's something we've believed all of our life, but maybe some have not. Maybe we can understand the struggle of the church and what we have been taught to believe, because at one time we weren't too sold upon what the church had to say, whether about Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we eventually learned, we eventually received the revelation, we eventually came in relationship with that which maybe we struggled with, and maybe we understood it a little bit better than we did, but maybe not always fully, as we will one day. The reason this gospel was written, the gospel of John was written, was so that there may be those who can believe. Believe what? That Jesus is the Messiah. What does that mean? God's anointed. The Son of God. and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why the Gospel of John was written. But brothers and sisters, you and I who grew up in the church have no qualms about when we hear a preacher say that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? You and I could say amen to that. We could say he's the Son of God. Because you see, when you and I hear that, do we also hear that David was the Son of God? Do we hear that the same way? Do we hear that the same way? David was the Son of God. Cyrus was a Messiah who didn't even know God. When we read that in the Old Testament, we may wonder, well, what's that about? That doesn't sound too familiar. But when we say that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we not only say that he was the Son of God as David was the Son of God, we are also saying that Jesus is God. Amen. You see, for those of us who grew up hearing this all of our lives, it's not much of a challenge for us to say amen, hallelujah, I agree with that, keep preaching it, brother. But there are those in our world who aren't taught that. And to hear us say that creates a struggle, a challenge. A challenge and a struggle that has made me wonder if I can appreciate or not. I mean, I say it so easily. Do you say it so easily? In the Gospel of John, we read that God came into the flesh. It dwelt among us. John says that they have seen the Son, that they have touched him and made contact. John says to you and me that God has come in the flesh and that he is Jesus, who is the Christ. And through Jesus, you and I get to see what the Father is like, how the Father acts, where you and I can see and hear and make contact with the everlasting God. Now for you and me, we can say, amen, preach it, brother. But I wonder how easy it is for us to say that. I wonder why it's so easy for us to say that. Is it because we don't realize why it's so hard for others to say that? There are those religions who believe that God is so holy other, where even in his own words, the scriptures say that God says, I am not man. God says that about himself. Google that, you'll find it. I am not man. God, the Father, is not man. That's in scripture, that is true. The Holy Spirit is spirit, as God is spirit. The Bible don't say that God is a spirit. The Bible says God is spirit, breath, ruach, life. It's that second head of the Trinity that gives some people a great deal of problems. You and I grew up hearing this and believing this. And I don't know that we appreciate those who have a struggle with it, because it just sounds, if you will, a little too good to be true or even possible. I mean, for them, human beings and flesh is sinful. Our flesh is sinful. We inherited our flesh from Adam, who is a sinner, who we inherit his sin. And here you have Jesus, born of a virgin, which is very important, whose daddy isn't Joseph. If it was, he would be a sinner like Adam, because Joseph descended from Adam. But Jesus' father isn't Adam. Jesus' father is God. That's why we say that. Next Sunday, we're going to change affirmations of faith. Do you like that segue? Do you see how I did that segue? Next Sunday, you and I are going to probably have to look at the screen and our hymnals, because we're getting ready to say the Nicene Creed. And then the Apostles' Creed, what we say about Jesus is about that long. And the Nicene Creed, it's about twice as long. Because we make sure that people understand what we mean when we say Jesus is the light of light, God of God. We emphasize it. Sometimes I think you and I, who have been brought up in the church, take for granted a lot of things that we say. For there are those who have this understanding of God being so holy, as we need to have that, holy other. That to say that he came in flesh, I don't know how in awe that strikes us, because we hear that and we say that so many times, where others, when they hear it, it is offensive. And we just heard some of that offensiveness in our text for today. In the synagogue, Jesus tells about himself. And in John 6, Jesus starts out with 5,000 people. That's a 5 with 3 zeros. Wow, that's a great evangelism report. I would love to send that to John Pinson. I'd love to have 5,000 on my evangelism report, because I know what would happen Monday morning. He'd give me a call. Hey, Randall, my good old buddy, John would say. What are you doing down there at Lafayette First? Well, John, I'm just happy to let you know that I have learned how to multiply bread and fish. And I want you to know that it is a crowd pleaser and a crowd gatherer. And I think I'm going to just keep on doing it, because, you know, there's some good results coming from it. 5,000, a 5 and 3 zeros. Who wouldn't want that on an evangelism report? Well, I can just imagine doing that, and then all of a sudden, people coming for the bread and the fish, but missing the sign and not really know who Jesus is. Well, I might sort of do less of the miracle of the fish and the loaves and start talking more about who Jesus is. Doing a little bit less miracle and talking more about the sign. Well, Jesus did that, and his numbers went from 5,000 to 500. That's a 5 with 2 zeros. And then later, he ends up with 50. That's a 5 with 1 zero. It seems that the more Jesus brings to people's awareness who he is, the less people are able to accept it, and the more people begin leaving him. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, I think we make church a little too easy. Do you know why cults grow so fast? Because they ask them to do some very hard things, difficult things, risky things, things that they could be put in prison for if they get caught. Sometimes I think we try to make church a little too easy, because you and I know that living for Jesus isn't easy. It takes work, hard work, to believe and to sustain that belief. That's why the Bible says for you and me to keep on believing. When Jesus was sharing with them who he is, you will notice that in verse 61, there is complaining going on. There's murmuring going on, complaining. I can remember the last time I complained was when Windows went from Windows 98 to Windows 7. I remember complaining. And I remember complaining when Windows went from Windows 7 to Windows 8. And then I remember greatly when I grumbled and complained when it went to Windows 10. I mean, would you please stop changing the format? Quit making me hunt for the start button. I know where it is. It's on the bottom left-hand corner. It's always been on the bottom left-hand corner. Please don't move it. And please leave everything like it is, because I know how to format. I know how to run this way. I know how to make it do that. Please don't change how to do it where I have to look in the book again and I have to learn how to do it all over again. I am comfortable right where I am. Leave me alone. Thank you. Leave me be. Jesus does not let us be. There are people that he is with who don't know who he is. And all they see him is a miracle worker. And he's more than a miracle worker. He's not only the Son of God, who those have also said he was, but he is God. And there are those who hear him say this, who remember how they were raised, and about how the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, and nobody else could go in because that was a very, very sacred place. And now all of a sudden, here comes a man who says to you and me that God wants to open up his presence for all of us to come in and to be with him. And for most of us, if we were Jews, we were taught that if anyone saw God, they would die. That you and I have no business being in the presence of the Holy Other, because we in no way can stand that presence, because it is so much more than us. And yet, God sends Jesus into this world for all of us to stare God in the face and to see that we will not die. We will live. So how do you and I help those who have been taught the other side, who have a very hard believing? One way of doing this, brothers and sisters, is to continue to incarnate this one who lives inside of you and me. To forgive when it is time to forgive. To show mercy when it is time to show mercy. Jesus said to the disciples, "Will you leave also?" Because they too were taught this. And maybe some of them thought about leaving as well, because it was a very hard thing to believe that God has come in the flesh. I mean, that goes against so much of what they had been taught, that just, how can this be? I mean, surely there have been some things in mine in your life that you have said after we even heard it and seen it. If I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't believe it. And then there's some things you and I may say, I saw it and I still don't believe it. One of the ways, brothers and sisters, that you and I as the church are to go out and to show people who Jesus is to be Jesus, is to be like Jesus, and to go out and to share the life in which he lived with others, to be Christ-like, to be the bread, to be the cup, to be in his likeness. That's how you and I can go into the world and to offer people another idea, another way of thinking of things. That if you and I can act and have the character and nature of God, then maybe what they are hearing in the Christian church is true. That God has given us his spirit. That he does live in us, because the church exemplifies it. Maybe you go back with me so much and remember Mike and the Mechanics. You remember Mike and the Mechanics? We're showing our age, aren't we? There's a song that they used to sing that said, "All we need is a miracle. All we need is a miracle." And sometimes that is so. But the song ends this way. "All I thought I needed was a miracle, but all I need is you. For it's the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.